Paul.
Yeah.
So my future stepson, Jack, is on a European holiday this week, and he's in Italy, and he's visiting Rome, and he's going to be seeing the Colosseum.
Yep.
And it just made me think about my aspirations for our friendship.
Yes.
And that is that if I ever have the means and the wherewithal, there's going to be a time in my life when I want to see if I can build you a Colosseum. Anyone ever given you that one before?
Never. It's a Tony original.
How's that work for an intro?
That's great, man. Let's kick it.
This is a new track from Loy Loy.
Here on Hometown Sounds.
Welcome back to Hometown Sounds. We show you how DC rocks. Hey, I'm Tony Pareko.
I'm Paul Vodra.
And that was a brand new track from Loy Loy entitled 1985. That's the first single from their upcoming release, Viva La Volva, which is going to be out this September via Blight Records. Blight, woo!
Blight is killing it.
Yep, all day, every day, every episode, lots of episodes. Loy Loy is a pair of real-life siblings, Christy and Johnny, and said Johnny is Johnny Fantastic of Stronger Sex, also a proud member. I think he's proud. I don't know. I can't speak for his mental state about how he feels about being on Blight Records. And we all know Stronger Sex because they played the very first Hometown Sounds Presents at the Kennedy Center Millennium Stage.
Mm-hmm, that was great.
Yes, it was. So they started this project 4 years ago in China, where Christy began pairing Mandarin compositions with radical experimental sounds. Loy Loy continued to develop in Spain, mixing original Spanish lyrics with an eclectic background of rock and roll, R&B, electronic, and soul influences. They are playing a release show July 9th at Tropicalia with Hudson K. That is a Sunday night. So, like, yeah, make it a Sunday fun day evening.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting, too, that the song is singing about being born in 1985. What year were you born in, Tony?
Actually, I have some perspective on this.
Yes.
I have some perspective on the year I was born.
That's true.
Which was 1986. And much like the song's lyrics say, I also do not remember when the astronauts died. I was a couple of weeks old.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm really happy that I wasn't older, because then I really think it might have just become a real exercise in narcissism, being like, yeah, pay attention to me, not the astronauts. You know, but thankfully I was incapable of that slight to the people around me.
I was born in 1975, but I have one younger sister, and she was born in 1985. So I really relate to that I can remember when the astronauts died, and I know the difference between being born in 75 and 85. And it's interesting, like, it was making me think of a song by Nightmares on Wax, which is a British band. It was called 70s, 80s, and it's about being a 70s baby, early 80s child. And it was singing about what you remember when you were that age. And I really liked that this is sort of taking that and updating it for your generation.
And I gotta say, it really sounds like, if this song is autobiographical in nature, I mean, having memories of drawing with crayons on the wall at age one. I mean, if that's when the astronauts, I'm trying to connect a whole lot of dots here. Like, so I don't know how much I'm being spot on here, but whatever, man, it's art.
Yeah.
Don't tell me what I'm supposed to think about art.
You just enjoyed the song.
Yeah. Yeah. It was real great. Now we're going to play another song. This is a track from Ben Coolin, who is a band that I saw this past weekend at Firefly Music Festival. Boom. Ben Coolin. Boom.
Choices this life was given to me from the
you doing over there, Paul?
I got muffins. I'm eating muffins.
Oh, you're just buttering some muffins. That was Ben Coolin with Spotlight. So as we talked about on the last episode, I'm jumping in a little bit more because, you know, Paul really sort of carried me the last episode. So this week, Paul gets to eat some muffins while we record.
Get to kick back and listen to the Tony cast.
So that was Ben Coolin with Spotlight. Ben Coolin is a five-piece. They describe themselves as a sexy rock band, and you might have heard why on that track. Five members: Paul Gregg, vocals and guitar; Teddy Scott, on guitar; on alto sax, the one, the only Jack Benson; on bass guitar, Ben Swartz; and drums, Will Lockery. And I just happened to see those guys this past weekend. They performed at the Firefly Music Festival located in Dover, Delaware, which I had a blast at. And I'm going to tell you all about why after I finished telling you about Ben Coolin's track, which they released this past December. So it was just sort of like the perfect reason to include them, because it was a really great and fun song, and because I saw him. It was also great to see Ben Coolin. Mm-hmm. Also, a final note about seeing Ben Coolin is they played on a stage called... The name of the stage was The Rambler. Now, the thing is, I was pulling up the festival map on the festival app. Maps and apps, yep. You know? Yeah. And the Rambler stage was not located on the map. So then I was like, what? Well, here's what it is. I then had to do a Google search for The Rambler stage, Firefly. It turns out... It's a Humvee. It's a mobile stage.
Okay.
And the vehicle contains the sound system and the band plays in front of it. So it's not on the map because the Rambler rambles to different locations.
Which makes it very hard to actually see somebody at it.
Yes. But thankfully, my fiance saw where it was and tracked it down and let me know, you know, what its purported whereabouts were going to be purported. So I gotta say, it was real cool seeing Ben Coolin. Took a fun photo. I didn't talk to them afterwards because, like, you know, you're playing in front of a Humvee and, like, you got to do all the stuff.
And you should go see Ben Coolin live, because you have a chance. Even if you didn't go to Firefly, you can see them Saturday, July 22nd at the Rock and Roll Hotel, along with Big Mama Shakes and headliner Aztec Sun. It's gonna be a pretty good show.
It should be a really good show. Okay, so now I'm just going to jump into telling you all about Firefly. So it's a Thursday through Sunday thing. And my fiance works in PR, and so as a result, we had really dope super VIP tickets. And I gotta say, I would not have gone to this music festival if I had not been hooked up in this manner. And I mean, this was super VIP. These tickets were well north, above $1,000. So what this got you was access to air-conditioned VIP lounges, phone chargers just everywhere. In fact, there was this one, essentially like an obelisk of just AC adapters. And oh my goodness, like, that is the statue I worship. Like, oh my God, you know, when I plug in like a 4-port USB charger and you're charging 4 devices at once, oh, you just feel so powerful. But yeah, so it was great. You, like, phone charging was not a problem. And the thing is like, I am the cable king. I came, I overpacked, I overprepared. I had a charging bungalow at our motel, which kind of looked like a bit of a murder motel, but whatever. And I say murder motel, I mean, the joke kind of continues, because I noticed on the inside of the door of our motel, it just sort of like looked like there's some liquid that had been splashed, like, on the door a little bit. And I was like, what is going on here? And then I opened the door up to the exterior of the door, and it just turns out it was a really sloppy paint job. Mm. So that was funny. Also, free booze the whole weekend at designated bars. So, like, including a motel, I think I spent like $300, just whatever, food and whatever, yep. Thursday through Sunday. Yep. So, like, you think about that, that's a hell of a deal.
Yeah.
Also, you got golf cart rides that you had access to take you around, like, to the festival, because it's kind of like, it's, you know, there's just a lot of, there's a big geographic area and you got to walk from place to place. But nah, you could just jump out back and hop on a golf cart to get, like, just sort of taken around. It was real cool. Also, the bracelets were super tech. So you scanned your bracelets to get into all the different VIP sections, and then there were these hexagons, and they would illuminate either green or red, and then that would tell the security staff about whether you could go in or not.
Huh. All right, then.
Yeah, so that was real cool. All right. Before, actually, I want to get to the goops and the fun parts of the festival, just before I talk about the music. One element that, so I have not been to a music festival in some time, and much less never done a Bonnaroo. never done a, what's a music festival, Paul?
Lollapalooza.
Lollapalooza. Never done a Bumbershoot.
Coachella.
Coachella. Have not done any of those. And so I would say that I'm not really in it, in the thick of it, and familiar with festival culture. But one thing that I got to say that was so fun and entertaining is that tons of people at the festival would have flags or totems that they would sort of hold up in the air as, you know, in signage and stuff. Mm. So some examples of this was someone had, you know, the used car lot guy, the blow up guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Actually, 99% Invisible did an episode just on the used car lot guy and his history and origins. It was really, really great. There was someone who had a Donkey Kong stuffed animal, like plush doll. It looks like they traded in a bunch of box tops to a Nintendo giveaway or something. Yep. And that this subsequently, the item ended up on eBay, whatever many years ago. So there was this Donkey Kong on a stick being held up above the crowd. There was a poop emoji banner. There was just this, I mean, what I thought was just really, really funny was to be in the position to sort of get a lot of these cultural references. It was just very, very fun and funny. You know, I had lots of other fun there too in other ways. And the place was full of, you know, the pop-ups and the, you know, experiential marketing and stuff. So I would make jokes about hey, why don't we go check out the medical pop-up? So actually, one time I played a little prank on my fiance and her girlfriend, in which they were doing some shopping, and it was late in the evening. And what I did is I pretended to stand in one place and put my head down as if I had fallen asleep because I was wasty cakes, which was not the case at all. But I wanted to see, you know, what would happen. So, you know, just wanted to have a little fun, you know, have a little fun at the festival. And they rushed towards me and were very concerned. But then it turns out that another nearby onlooker had seen me go into this head down, standing up state and had begun taking a video of me. And then when I snapped out of it and it was clear that I was just messing around, he got very angry and walked away because I had ruined his joke with his camera phone.
Oh, God.
So that was fun. All right. Hey, let's get into the music. All right. So I saw Weezer for, I think, maybe the seventh time in my life, which is great. I got to make that pilgrimage. And actually, I had my super VIP access. I was in the rafters to the side of the stage.
Yep.
And they gave you playing cards to keep count of how many people are up there because you can only take so much mass on a thing. And there was some swaying a little bit, but it was great. And I pulled my little parlor trick of knowing every note and every drum fill and every Weezer song and getting the polarizing response of some people loving it and some people hating it. You know, and that is what it is. I saw Franz Ferdinand, which was another wonderful sort of throwback check-in. Then there was the artist that myself and my fiance had been pumped for 4 months, that being Francis and the Lights. And he's actually an artist that I've spoken about briefly on this podcast as well. So he's one guy, keyboard, lots of just his record playing, but he is an incredible dancer. And I did not know this. What my fiance had told me was that it's really cool how he moves on stage. And I looked at her and I was like, you didn't tell me he dances? And she was and I didn't know how to explain it, you know? But anyway, I'm going to play a bit of a song right now just via my Bluetooth speaker from this and about an accompanying idea I had and just a review of some other Tony ideas that have kind of achieved a similar outcome. So we're coming up on this section of the song, and I had proposed to Jessica, I did propose to her, but I proposed to her this idea that this would be our first dance song, but that right here, we'd have a choreographed dance, but at that part right there, it would just be us jumping up and down in front of the crowd.
God.
It's very millennial.
Yes.
It's steeped in irony. Anyway. It just made me reflect on some other Tony ideas that have been shot down. One of which was with us a couple of weeks ago when we were trying to figure out the episode art.
Yep.
And my idea was, let's do a human wheelbarrow.
Oh, God.
My other idea was my band, Uptown Boys Choir, had a New Year's Eve gig at IOTA a couple of years back. And we were trying to come up with, just kind of some fun covers, a big fun cover. And what I thought would be fun is if we played Chumbawamba's Tub Thumpin', because no one would ever see that coming. And I feel like we're enough well over a decade out where you don't hear that song every 7 minutes on the FM radio, and you don't even listen to the FM radio.
Right.
But that was also shot down. So the thing, I am very aware about like the quality of my ideas, and they're funny, but like, nah, I get it. It's all good, man. It's all good. Anyway, a little bit more Firefly. Oh, I saw former DC band Shade, formerly known as the Walking Sticks. That was real cool. But about three quarters of the way through their performance, their gear, like heat, like hit the power system and their gear shut off, and they're all bleep bloops anyway. So that was a bummer. But they were totally fine, and they got one mic working and an acoustic guitar, and it showed that they really tried, and it was all really nice anyway. Nice. So that was really, really neat. Formerly known as the Walking Sticks, which is a band name that I had previously so very much enjoyed, because like, one, how often do you think of Walking Sticks?
Right.
And two, you never think about Walking Sticks in groups. You know what I mean? Like, it's always the Walking Stick or it's my Walking Stick, but a bunch of Walking Sticks like walking together, like that's just some cute imagery in my opinion. Anyway, so that's my Firefly recap. Hope you enjoyed it. Now let's play another song. What's next, Paul?
Next is Uptown XO.
Niggas and they subliminals perpetrating they criminal. I rap my town, home of the scans, not a seminal. Great grandma was Cherokee. Uptown was a reservation for teeth from Belmont, where it all started. Then my grandma came in. She was so sweet, they called her Sugar. Grew to be a teacher. Had my mom's in the 60s around the time they killed the preacher. How ironic, here I stand on Martin Luther Ave. Think about me being king and checkerboard, red and the black. Checkerboard, hide the government, fuck up the red and the blacks. The ads, while we never win. Class. Fuck your mind, trying to launch a supreme hat. Romanelli flow, custom made to an A-B track. I think of one thing, when I hear these niggas spitting, you ain't making no shots. All that dribbling in, past that rock. All that fitting behind you, living in your lyrics. It's gonna come back to your spirit.
Presenting the struggle and being a voice for the people. That was Uptown XO with a song called Spirit That Never Dies. It is the first song from his new album, Four Pack, The Spook That Sat By The Booth. It's a name, your own price download on his Bandcamp page.
Yeah. So digging into that album title again, repeating it just because it is quite literally a mouthful. Four Pack, The Spook That Sat By The Booth. So there's a couple of things. There's sort of a kind of resist and multiply kind of thing. So going from two pack to four pack.
Yep.
And then the title, The Spook That Sat By The Booth, is a 1973, what was the genre of film?
Well, the original film was called The Spook Who Sat By The Door. And it was from 1973. It's a blaxploitation crime drama and it is a satire of the civil rights struggle in the United States of the late 1960s and a serious attempt to focus on the issue of black militancy, and music by Herbie Hancock.
Yeah, I did note that. I was a little curious about, can something be satire but serious at the same time? It was a little, but okay. All right, that's film criticism for you.
There you go. And neither Tony or I have seen this film, but it has been put into the National Film Registry as a very culturally significant film. So I'm game for watching it sometime because I actually really like 70s movies, like in the blaxploitation stuff especially, and the crime stuff from like New York City and whatnot. I like that stuff.
So, I mean, I really feel like my only cultural touchstone for anything of the 1970s and like black militancy and stuff, I think all I got is Forrest Gump.
Yeah, you could use some more on that.
You and me, yeah. Date night.
There you go. Education. Uptown XO is the artist moniker of MC Jamal Walton. We last featured Uptown XO on this podcast back in 2013. He is also a member of Diamond District alongside other DC hip hop luminaries, Odyssey and You. We featured Diamond District, of course, and I saw Diamond District at the Odyssey show at the 930 Club a few months ago, and it was so good.
I bet it was. So Uptown XO, Jamal Walton, he met those folks, the other guys from Diamond District, back in like the late 90s, early aughts, when he started hitting up this all ages open mic that kind of bounced around from club to club in the U Street area called True School. And they're recently, when I say recently, all right, this is in 2014, but there was a 15 year anniversary after the True School open mic had started happening. And so essentially it was a huge hip hop show, and at a spot that is now closed that was pretty cool called the Dunes. Paul and I used to go to shows there kind of on the reg, really.
Yeah, it was a great spot.
So I found this blog write up of this show, and this show featured performances from YU, Diamond District, Prowess the Testament, Flex Matthews, Artemis, members from Far EXP, and Tim Hicks of the Cornell West Theory. And Paul, what do all of those artists have in common?
This podcast.
More specifically.
That we have played them on this
there
podcast.
There you go. Cool, yep. Cool, cool. Ding, ding, ding.
We win.
All right, so after we've won, let's play another song.
This is Baquet.
Before we started recording, you put that song on, and then I told you to go back to the other song you played from this band. But no, it was the same song, but there's just quite the change up after that keyboard riff.
It's very catchy. That was Cursed Life, a song by Baquet. This comes from the 10-song release by Baquet that came out back in May called Down the Drain. It is a $7 download on their Bandcamp. I'm not sure if it's like an album because the songs are really short. That song was only a minute 36.
It's an album.
Yeah, I guess maybe it's the number of songs, not the length of the full thing when you put all the songs together. Baquet is Katie McDee on vox and keys, Rena Higgins on bass and vox, Eileen O'Grady on drums, and Andrew Briner on guitar. And the album was recorded by Carney Clears, who records a lot of this punk stuff, doing a very good job of it. They're playing in D.C. next at the Black Cat on Wednesday, July 5th, with Foul Swoops and a New York band, and I kid you not, they're called T-Rextacy.
It had to happen sometime.
T-Rextacy.
Sounds like I came up with that band name, right?
That's a good band name. It's even funnier when I say it out loud. I was typing it. I was like, that's kind of funny. And then I say it out loud. It's funnier. And the band is named, in case you don't know what that is an ancient Greek tragedy play by Euripides. Apparently, it's one of the best tragedies in history.
What qualifies as best for tragedy?
Well, it's very moving, and it's been around a really long time because it's from ancient Greece.
I mean, I just feel like this podcast episode shows how uncultured I am. What, like, I don't know anything about, like, 70s blaxploitation movies. I don't know anything about the ancient Greek tragedy plays by Euripides.
You do know everything about Weezer.
Yes, I minored in Weezer.
And now let's hear another song. Tony, who's next on the TonyCast?
Next, it's Lisa Saeed.
Just want help to skelter. Other dudes, they
Some dudes want to tell you how it is. Some dudes just want to get in your biz.
Oh, snap. Telling it like it is. That was Lisa Saeed with a track called Some Dudes. This is a pre-order teaser track for Lisa Saeed's upcoming EP called Estranged. Gosh, I love that lead guitar. Oh my God. Great. I think a slide on there, probably, maybe. Who knows? I wasn't watching the guy. I don't know what I was doing when he was recording it. It comes out July 7th on CD and digital through Tall Short Records, and you can pre-order it now on her Bandcamp for $5. Lisa, she's an Egyptian-American singer-songwriter who grew up in Tennessee yearning to get out. She now lives in Washington, D.C., and she recorded these songs with legendary punk producer-engineer Donzi Antera at Inner Ear Studio with the help of local musical talent Andrew Toy and Andrew Cox, as well as some long-distance musical collabs with Seth Kaufman, Joel Shantz, and Jason Kingsland. The songs on Estranged were written during a colorful 2 years of her solo debut album, No Turn Left Behind, and represent her more grit rock and power pop edge influences, courtesy of groups like The Stones and The Who and The Faces, etc. She next plays The Black Cat on Friday, June 23rd, as part of a huge six-band lineup called A Rockalyptic. I did practice saying that a few times quietly so that Paul wouldn't hear me practice saying it, but with the likes of Black Dog Prowl, Fuzz Queen, Temper Crush, Donzi and Tara, and Selena Benali. She also plays at IOTA on Friday, July 2nd, opening for Braddock Station Garrison. And Paul, you remember that time I told that story about a band getting pumped about getting their first digital sale and holding up a dollar bill in a Facebook post?
That's right.
That was the band.
Oh, yes. Coming back around.
Blowing up your spot, BSG.
That's awesome. And that almost takes us to the end of this episode of the Hometown Sounds podcast. So please subscribe to it. Tell all your friends about it. Follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It's at Hometown Sounds.
And throw some stars. I dare you.
Yeah, please.
I double Black Dog Prowl dare you.
The website is hometownsoundsdc.com. We got music videos and podcasts and other fun stuff there. The email address is dj@hometownsoundsdc.com. Let us know how you liken this and what other music that we should cover and talk about. But really, the important thing is to support all of the musicians that you've heard on this podcast by buying their music
and seeing them play live.
Like, for example, depending on if you hear this podcast soon after it is published, the next Hometown Sounds Millennium Stage Show at the Kennedy Center is going to be Friday, June 23rd with our boy Will Eastman.
Woo-woo!
We're really excited.
Oh, my God. I am so pumped for this one.
Yes. But we have one last track for you on this episode, and it is by The Hunted Hare. The Hunted Hare is the solo moniker of Dennis Kane, who we featured last year on his record with viola da gamba player Amy Dominguez. The song we featured was also called The Hunted Hare. How about that? He has now taken that song title as his solo moniker. This is the final song on the upcoming full-length album called Nothing Is Always on Versus Records. It comes out on CD and digital on June 27th, and you can pre-order it now on the Bandcamp page for Versus Records. And while you're there, you can also get those really awesome benefit compilations that came out earlier this year that I was super into. I have like 44 tracks full of all kind of weird stuff, and it benefits ACLU and Planned Parenthood.
And by the way, if you've ever played Mario Kart 64, you might say to yourself, Versus?
The music on Nothing Is Always is a stark take on melodic minimalism. The sound is deep and dark, but also pretty and haunting. And I just decided to Google the title of the song, which is Malleus. And I discovered that the malleus, or hammer, is a hammer-shaped small bone or ossicle of the middle ear, which connects the incus and the attached to the inner surface of the eardrum. It transmits the sound vibrations from the eardrum to the incus. So it's kind of all about hearing, and that's what you need to do to enjoy music.
I want to not mess up my malleus.
This song won't do that to you. It's going to be beautiful. We hope you really like it. Thanks very much, Tony.
Thanks very much, Paul.
And thanks, everybody, for listening. See you next time.